It's about an unfinished building project. It's about God's temple, and it's about spiritual apathy that could lead to a spiritual awakening. I'm going to be speaking out of the book of Haggai this morning. If you want to start to go there, it'll be Haggai chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to start in. Let's have a little background. The book of Haggai. What's kind of unusual about this is, unlike his contemporaries, the Jews listened and they humbled themselves. They obeyed his message and they made changes, and a great spiritual awakening happened. But in around 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar invaded and overthrew Jerusalem. The city and the temple were destroyed. God's people were taken away into Babylon as captives. But God promised their captivity wouldn't be forever. It would last for 70 years, and after that time, they would be able to return and rebuild Jerusalem. They could restore it to its once great glory, and better than that, they would rebuild the temple. So around 536 BC, the Babylon Empire fell to the Persians and their king Cyrus. A few years later, he issued a decree that the Jews could return home with the express purpose of rebuilding their temple and restarting their worship. So about 50,000 Jews took up the offer and headed back to Jerusalem. Soon after they arrived, they began to work. They started to rebuild the temple. The first thing they did was cleared away the rubble from the temple court, and they rebuilt the altar of burnt offerings and started making offerings to the Lord. It became the daily sacrifice once again. It was joy because now they were back to where they should be. They were worshiping their God. The following spring, they laid the foundation for the temple, and it was great celebrations. But that's when things began to unravel. You see, there was people left behind, the Samaritans, and they wanted to get involved, and the Jews rejected them. And the Samaritans started to cause problems, to slow down the work. The people of God become discouraged. Their initial zeal had waned. Does that sound familiar? Your initial joy and happiness starts to fade away. Well, they no longer had the heart to build the temple, and it lay unfinished. The years that followed, the people increasingly became concerned about their own lives, their own personal affairs, and the thought of building the temple got put on the back burner. The work of building the temple should have been their top priority, but they shoved it aside because they were busy. They had other things to do. So here's the setting. This is where we're at now. The foundations of the temple were laid. The altar, it's up and running. The sacrifices are being offered, but that's where it all come to an abrupt halt. The work on building God's house came to a standstill. Now, let's just put this in perspective. How would you feel if you had some people come to build your house and they were on fire to get your house built, so they laid up the basement walls, they laid a floor, and then they got busy on some other things. Things of their own household they had to get done, so they never come back. And there sits your house with a wall, with the basement walls up and a floor and nothing else, and there you sit. So think about God. They had a platform, they had an altar, they were making sacrifices, but they were too busy to come back and finish the temple. So let's start reading. I'll read out of New King James. Haggai 1, 3 through 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus say the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, said the Lord. So here we have the first evidence of spiritual apathy. God's work is not being completed. They had a job to do, but they weren't doing it. It's kind of like today. But this is where this message gets a little personal for the Jews of Haggai's time and for us today. Because God, I believe, challenges his church today just as he always has. We have a job to do, and God expects us to get about it and get it done. Our job today is the same as it was in Haggai's time. We're to build God's temple. The problem for us today is the temple that we're building is not out of blocks and stone. The temple that we have to build is made out of living stone, of men and women like you and me who are Christians, that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I'll just stop and think about that a minute. This is amazing. We're God's building materials. We're his living blocks to build up the temple. We're what he's going to use to build that temple here on earth. Now stop and think about your responsibility. As a building block, we have a responsibility to keep ourselves clean and holy, or else we'll be the weak block in the wall. In Ephesians, Paul describes Christians. This is chapter 2, verse 20 and 22. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. As each sinner comes to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, another stone is added to the temple of God, another living stone. In Haggai, in verse 8, it said, God takes pleasure in his house. He is glorified in that temple. So I believe as people are saved, as people are added to this living wall in this temple, we bring pleasure to God. Isn't that what we should do? Is there any higher calling than bringing pleasure to our God? But once we become part of that building, we shouldn't sit there all eternity like bumps on a log. It doesn't end. We're called to be living stones, not dead stones. We're supposed to be offering a spiritual sacrifice. I just read that in 1 Peter. So if those living stones aren't willing to share the message of Jesus Christ, how is it going to get out? How is anyone else going to know of the good news of the gospel? And that's precisely the question that Paul asked in Romans 10, 13, and 14. He said, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And I'll tell you, that word preacher doesn't mean the man standing behind a pulpit. It means all of you. All of you should be sharing the word of Jesus Christ. You see, faith comes from hearing the message. And think about it. We're living stones. That's what we're called to be. So we should be out there. We should be active. God could do it himself, but he chose not to. He chose to use us as living building materials to share and to get the word out about Jesus Christ. It's the same as he chose the Jews in Haggai's time. Now, each one of us has a responsibility to be involved in God's work. And that means taking advantages of the opportunities that God has given us. You know, it could be something in your home, your family. It could be in your workplace. It could be your extended family. Or it could be something, a program through the church. Whatever God's calling you to do, you need to get involved. You need to be a living, breathing building block. But then, we don't like to get out of our comfort zones, do we? We like to be right there. We don't like change, and we don't want to be put out at all. That's human nature. We grow to like the status quo, and we don't want to be bumped out of that place. Haggai 1:2 says, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." You see, the Jews, day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year, went on about their business and left the temple sit. They had a concrete slab with an altar on it. They were able to make their sacrifices. They were able to worship. So the rest fell outside their comfort zone. You know, they were busy. They had things to do. Especially, you know, at harvest time, there isn't enough people to harvest and build a temple. They get used to sitting around. They get used to their daily lives. And building that temple gets farther and farther away. It's not part of the status quo anymore. But eventually, there has to come a wake-up call. And that's what Haggai did. He was their wake-up call. And I believe I'm your wake-up call today. Share with you what God's laid on my heart. You see, being content with the status quo is very dangerous for a Christian. It's a very dangerous mindset. This danger, God has warned the Israelites many times. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 through 14, it says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." I don't know if you believe that has relevance for the church today, but I do believe it does. When we have all that we need, when we're in our own land of milk and honey, when we have a good job, when the money's pouring in, when we have a roof over our head, life is good, we tend to forget where it came from, who gave it all to us. And if you don't think that that verse is relevant today, try this one. It comes out of Revelation 3, 14 through 19. "And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that are may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." We become comfortable in all that we have. We become lukewarm in our worship. And it says right here that God so much hates that he'll vomit us out of his mouth. That's a pretty revolting word picture, but it's true. We get happy. We get complacent. We like the status quo, but we've got to change. And you don't get into this condition on purpose. Sometimes circumstances force you into it, but it should only be a temporary thing. But before you know it, it's become routine. Maybe circumstances has interrupted your daily Bible study. Your devotional time with God starts to fall aside. Before you know it, months have passed. And now the new habit is I don't get into my Bible at all. The new status quo is I get up, I go to work, I come home, I go to bed. No time for God. Perhaps you skip church for 1 week. You had a better thing to do. And maybe the next week you get sick. And the next week something else happens. And then something else happens. Well, all of a sudden, you've missed corporate worship for a month. And then it's easy to keep extending it on and on and on. You see, there's a danger. Our spiritual life becomes fruitless, dilapidated, it's ruined. Just like Solomon's temple was. The stones are laying around, the walls haven't been built. And there we are. But we don't see it. We sit here and we don't realize we're just lukewarm Christians because of all the things that we put ahead of God, all the things that we would rather do than spend time in Bible study, in prayer with God, just quiet time with Him. You see, we should never be content with the status quo. If we do, it means spiritual apathy is set in. That shouldn't be an option for Christians. The Holy Spirit is always working in your life. He's always pulling you to be more holy. He's always pulling you to be closer and closer to God. And so if we allow this apathy to set in, this status quo that we're willing to accept, that means we're no longer growing. And for a Christian, there's no in between. You're either growing and drawing closer to God or you're dead. The Holy Spirit isn't working because you're not listening. This brings us to the third sign of spiritual apathy. God's people make excuses. Verse 2 said, "These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built." You know, I believe maybe someone said, "You know, we really ought to get to work getting that temple built. Let's get back to work on it." And others said, No, we don't have time. We got a harvest season coming up, and we'll be busy doing that. There's not enough people to help. Well, you know, God said to go up in the mountains and get the wood. Well, that's a long way to go. And I really don't have time to go up the mountains and cut the wood to bring back. But the point is, they're lame excuses. Those are zero reasons for not worshiping God, for not accomplishing what He has called us to do. A person who's in a state of spiritual apathy will always make excuses to try to cover up their sinful neglect of the things of God. And that goes for us here today. We get pretty good about making up excuses for what God wants us to do. I'm too busy to help in children's church. I already have too many commitments to attend the Bible study. I live too far away to attend youth group. Or I'm too tired in the morning for prayer time. I'm too busy at night. And I'm putting myself in the same boat. Every one of us has excuses. But I wonder about what God thinks. The same people that say, "I don't have time to study God's word." And He sits up there and He watches us on our electronic devices, texting, talking, playing video games, watching TV, DVDs, streaming videos, whatever it is we do. And yet we say, we have no time to read God's word. We have no time to pray. I was telling Darren, a person that told me, I don't want to go out in the evenings to go to Bible study. I get in, I want to stay in, and I'm not going. Well, the same person called me one night and asked me if I needed anything from Walmart. They were out shopping. So what does God think about those kind of things as he looks down? He knows your heart. He knows that that's an excuse if you don't want to go out in the evening to go to a Bible study, but you'll go out in an evening to go shopping at Walmart. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you, you need to examine your spiritual condition, where you're at today. Have you become complacent? You like the rut that you've been in? We have all we need. We have a roof over our head. We had food on our plates. And yet, we're neglecting building God's temple. The construction has stopped. The living stones are not coming in like they were. And God wants his temple built. And why is that? Because he said he takes pleasure in it. And he should be glorified by the building of his temple. And God has the right to say that. He is the creator. Around 550 BC, God spoke through the prophet Haggai for the purpose of refocusing his people. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. We need to consider our ways today. He said, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages, earn wages to put in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of the hosts, consider your ways. The Jewish people were just going through the motions of living and of worshiping. They were stuck in a rut, and they were missing out on much of God's blessing. You know, it strikes me. They were content with the altar that they'd built. They were content with making their daily offerings. But they missed the whole point of building the temple back up. So what about us? You know, he spoke about an unsatisfying lifestyle. You eat, but you can't get full. You drink, but you can't slake your thirst. You make money, but you put it in purses with holes in them. Yeah, we're living our lives today, but is there any meaning to your life? Are you just going through the motions? And what about your worship experience? Are you just sacrificing on an altar, on a slab with no walls? Where are you at in building God's kingdom? We're supposed to be living stones. We're supposed to be active. We should be receiving God's blessings. Does your life feel blessed? You know, I don't know where all of you stand. I don't know where any of you stand in your relationship to God. I can look at people and I can see what they're doing. You know, you can see the fruit of God's labor. You can see things happening. And I do believe that things are happening in this church. I see great things happening. I'm not going to go through it again, but I've said so many times about the different groups, the things they're accomplishing. You see, God's word tells us he wants to pour his blessings out on us. And he can't do that if we're apathetic, if we're satisfied with how things are going. Things have to change. And then maybe when you eat, you'll be satisfied. When you drink, your thirst will go away. And when you work, your wages won't go into a pocket with holes in it. You'll see God's blessings. You see, if we're going to build up God's house, we're going to have to upset the status quo. And you know, I prayed about this message and I had some of my brothers pray with me. But it is what it is. And this is what God laid on my heart. And he reaffirmed it in the last 2 weeks that this is what has to happen. So we all need to search our hearts and see where we stand. Are you a living stone? Or are you just a dead brick? God's called on us to complete his temple. And I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about all of God's community, the community outside these walls. God wants you to respond to this message just as he expected the Jews to respond to Haggai. So where do you stand? Are you God's voice? Are you God's feet? And are you God's hands? Are you just the bump on the log that's going to sit there, secure in my salvation, but not serving the Lord? So the same message that Haggai delivered to the Jews is the same message we get today. Would everyone please stand? Before we have a word of prayer, I have a question, and I want you to think about it. If you think you're doing okay, how many living stones have you brought in to be part of God's temple? Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message of Haggai. Father, your message is clear. I just pray this morning, Father, that hearts were touched, that it will cause us to examine ourselves to see where we are and what part we have in your kingdom. Father, I do ask to pour your blessings out on this body of believers. And Father, I just ask you to bring us all into focus, to shake us up, to take us out of that complacent rut that we've fallen into. Father, help us to see only you and the path you've laid out for us. I pray for unity as always, Father, for this church. I pray for wisdom for the leadership and the strength to overcome the apathy that's set in. Father, please help us to be useful, to be living stones that willingly share the message. I pray for you to bring people that we may speak to, we may talk to. Father, send us out amongst them. I just pray that we're effective in your name. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.